Show your patriotism with a flag from the United States Flag Service. They offer premium, high-quality flags that are made in the USA. Whether it's the grand old flag, your favorite military flag, or a historical flag, celebrate your freedom with a flag from the United States Flag Service. Go to usflagservice.com. That's usflagservice.com to see their selection of available flags. And then call 1-800-USA-FLAG to purchase your flag today. USA Flag Service. Fly your flag for freedom.
Now, the Jen Charlton Show on 930 WFMD and WFMD.com. Telling it like it is with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's great to have you here. And I want to make sure that you know that today is really about we the people. And if you become on someone's radar a target because you believe something or you are stuck with a reputation given to you by others who don't believe in you, don't believe in your politics, have decided you're a danger to society, like O'Biden has done, how they've weaponized government against we the people. God forbid you should run for office, let alone president of the United States, and they decide that you should not win. Because they're coming after you. They're coming after you with all guns. And I say guns in the proverbial sense. So far, the brown shirts haven't shown up with guns by their side. But there was a whole thing about that with the IRS agents, if you remember. They were going to be fully armed. 85,000 of them. Thank God they stopped that nonsense. But in the past week, there has been a case in New York where they decided they're going to take down President Trump, take down his net worth, impose such things on him that none of us could survive. I mean, thank God he's got good attorneys and so forth. But if they decide that you're the bad guy and they're coming after you, they're going to take you down. $350 million. $350 million. Is that excessive? If you're a billionaire, is it excessive? I think by anybody's standards, it's excessive, unless you're part of the problem and you've decided you're going to take down President Trump because there's no way in God's green earth he's going to be the next president of the United States over your dead body. In the proverbial sense. Like, if you decide, you, the group, decide that that man has no right to be president, you're going to do the use of the government. You're going to weaponize against him, which they've done, to take him out of the running for president of the United States. So today is about dealing with that, and we have printed the 92-page opinion out of New York, and I have Walter Charlton, my dad, in studio looking at it right now. He's got some information on it. And because he's been a certified public accountant in his life, in his career, he has some knowledge about some of what they're speaking of because it's heavy in finance. But we also called upon a dear friend of ours who is a patriot and former CIA. And he was an analyst and has information in finance and banking to impart to us. So he's done some analysis, and former CIA, I think he's probably been in the weeds in some of this stuff in the past. So I think it'll be an interesting discussion. But one of the things I wanted to say about this, and I think it's really important to kind of set the tone, is money is elusive. What's the value of money? Right now it's getting trashed under O'Biden. But is a dollar worth a dollar? Is a dollar worth today what it was 10 years ago? When an appraiser evaluates or values a property, who are they serving? Are they serving the buyer or are they serving the seller? or are they serving the bank? When I buy a property, I get three appraisals. Why? Because there's a good one, the bad one, and the one in the middle that makes sense. Because it's elusive. It's an opinion. And the bank in our capitalist society has a right to accept or reject a deal. They don't have to accept a deal. Doesn't matter what the appraiser says. Is government allowed to come in and tell a bank how to do business with one of their customers? Now, you have banking regulations. This gets into a lot of banking oversight, accounting oversight. But at what point is it being weaponized against a man who wants to make America great again? Because making America great again means that somebody's going to jail. Because there have been people who have been hurting this country, and we call that treason. So the consequences could not be more serious, not only for President Trump, not only for our country, but for you and I and how we do business with banks, how we value our assets, how, and I don't just mean value extrinsically, I mean value intrinsically. What does it mean to us? And does that government have the right to come in and impose so much oversight that they get in the way of business and commerce? That's no longer a free capitalist society. And then we have this thing called our constitutional rights. And apparently, they're thrown out the window. So we're going to take a quick break. When we return, I'll have Walter Charlton, an attorney. He's admitted to the Supreme Court. He has several cases going right now. And Bob Kofod, former CIA. We'll be right back. Do you want to experience wellness at a whole new level? Make your health and wellness a priority and be your best you. Check out TotalWellFit.com for top quality nutritional and wellness products. For example, our collagen creamer is made with stevia and helps with elasticity in the skin, hair, and nails while providing structure for tendons and joints. And it's delicious. TotalWellFit.com. It's a lifestyle thing. Good morning and welcome. It's great to have everybody here. And I have with me today Walter Charlton and Bob Kofod. And we're going to talk about this banking situation. And I'd like to start with Walter and have him give us an overview as best he can surmise, working through this lengthy document that was generated out of New York. And good morning, Dad. It's good to have you back on air.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I really have to complain a bit about me. Here you hit me with a 92-page document. And I don't care about that so much, but when you get 92 pages of nonsense and then you say, okay, now explain it to me, it's tough.
So why is it nonsense?
Well, the first thing you have to realize is this. We live in a world, or we swim in an ocean of financial information. And it's you got to look at it kind of like an ocean. Dollars? How much is a dollar worth? Okay. You used to get an ounce of gold for $33. Now
you're showing your age.
Well, sure, I'm old, but $33 for gold. What is it now? I think it's something over 17.
Oh, it's over $2,000.
So that's called inflation and stagflation and insane inflation. It's called devaluation of the dollar. The dollar is, but what this case says is we get to say what all of this is. Since we're the government in New York State, we get to say, what's the ocean made of that you swim in? And if we don't like the way you're doing it, we get to take all of it away from you. And it makes no sense. You've got to, when you're an accountant, is one thing, that's keeping track of the dollars and the numbers. When you're an appraiser, that's something else. That's a valuation of whatever it is you're appraising in dollars.
Based on what information, generally?
Well, it's supposed to be based on generally accepted accounting principles, consistently applied over a period of years. But when inflation is kicking in at 10, 20, 30, maybe 40%, not yet, but all they got to do is make a few more moves like they've been moving, and you're into inflation, then it's like trying to swim in a boiling ocean. It's real hard to swim with all those bubbles in it. And it becomes not a question of generally accepted accounting principles anymore. It's who can talk the quickest before the guns get you.
Well, and it's kind of like my game, my rules. This is what they're doing. And now it's a new game, my rules. Now we're going to play a different game, and it's still my rules. So they keep moving, I think, some of the rules.
Well, of course. But then you get to throwing terms like fraud around. And as we all, anybody with a grain of sense now knows about the election process, well, that's your boiling ocean, too. And you can't trust it. And now it's being applied to finance. Well, when this applies to finance, you're not in a free democracy anymore or a
free market.
Or a free market or anything. Where you are, you're in a fiat government. It's the king all over again, or the Nazis all over again, or whoever controls things. It's not the rules we're supposed to play by, but that's...
I gotcha. So let me...
In this particular case, to refer to the case, I've gotten so far in reading this that the New York passed a law that says that we can set the business standards any way we want, and this is an executive order that's been in place for a long time. I think it's about nearly 50 years. And so we get to say what you get to do.
Okay, so let me say, there's a lot there in what you said. I want to unpack something. First of all, what I see is what they promised they were going to do, which was redistribution of wealth. So they're starting at the top with Trump, but believe me, the rest of us are being affected every day by inflation, Bidenomics, all of the nonsense and lies and manipulation of the dollar, the currency, the economy, you know, the central banking system. All of that impacts us to what? Government and control of our money. They give us what they want us to have when they think we should have it. And if they don't think we should have it, they're going to rip it out of our palms. I cleaned that up. So, right? I was going to say our dead hands. So, you know, I want to move to Bob. So, Bob, when you look at what Walter just said in the banking system and your experience in government and CIA, can you step back for a second and tell me is what you can about CIA operations and how they looked at finance? Because a lot of times CIA went into other countries or operations and governments and you looked at money. What do you see about what's happening today to President Trump compared to your experience in that arena in the past?
I think there is a strong parallel between what we do internationally in terms of involving ourselves in other nations' politics and in their financial structures to what we're seeing now. We're seeing not necessarily the CIA, but the government in general, if you take the Justice Department and FBI and Treasury, all of it is working outside of the framework that Walter was talking about. It's an opportunity to completely manipulate what we think about in terms of the structure and what we believe in as our country.
Is it government overreach?
Oh, absolutely.
Is it abuse of power?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think this is when you look at the cases, and there are, if you count all of the states, the 30 states that tried to put Trump off the ballot, there are almost 40 legal cases against him. And when you put them all together, if you assume that we have a functioning justice system, eventually they'll all work themselves out, probably in Trump's favor. But that's not the goal. The goal is to destroy what we think about Trump.
Rip his wealth away.
I think that's, it's improbable that that would last, you know, through a real, if we had a justice system. But I don't think that.
Well, and I think he's showing us. Yeah, we don't.
And I think all of that is problematic because we don't really know what Trump is worth. We think that this fine is probably about 15% to 20% of his total net worth. But we don't really know that because we talk about Donald Trump as the individual and Donald Trump's organization, which is 250 companies.
Yeah, but they went after his most valuable properties so that if they indeed seize these assets, and I don't know, and they're talking about putting them on the firehouse sale block to sell them, probably 10 cents on the dollar. The point isn't the money they'll earn off of this. The point is the money they'll take out of him. And what do you do? And this is a Walter question. What do you do, Dad, to stop the seizing of assets? Because if it goes into the appeal process, but they've already sold the assets, how does he get his property back?
Well, the point is that this is about destruction. This is not, you can't. There is no justice in system functioning. That's the bottom line. The system of justice is broken along with everything else because it's, how do you value something? Value is a is a matter of perception.
You use some information, you look at other properties similarly situated, you do comparisons in the market, but at the end of the day, there's only one Mar-a-Lago.
Well, yeah, but it's there's fungible assets and non-fungible assets and BS, you know. Now, how do you put it all together to a value? Appraisers can appraise, but they have certain functions. One of them is you have to have generally accepted accounting principles to know each increment, each week, each month, each year of earnings of this particular asset. Well, if the value process or the legal process or the perception process, i.e. propaganda, is all broke, how do you value anything?
Or corrupt.
Well, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter whether it's stealing or whether the government takes it, it's gone.
So what I'm hearing you say is that this is a subjective process.
Oh, absolutely. And the idea here is if we get enough people to say Trump's a crook, Trump's a crook.
Well, they've been doing that through the narrative for a long time, and that's where I've been frustrated. So let me step off of that for a second and say we must own the narrative now. It's time for us to not be afraid. See, they've put us into a position where we've been bullied into silence. We have been bullied into submission. We have been bullied into not standing up against government. God forbid we should show up at the Capitol and have something to say as a grievance against what they're doing, because even though we have that constitutional right, there will be consequences.
Well, January the 6th, that process is nothing less than treason. And here we got the president of the United States doing treason, and it's okay, too.
Yeah, why has Biden, Hunter, all of that gone without... Why isn't he in Gitmo? Why isn't he in the gulag? Why isn't Hunter Biden, who operated, lied about a firearm... Now, if I did that, my butt would be in jail. Why is Hunter Biden out free? Why are they allowed to have, I think it was 17 different shell companies to manipulate, move money around, don't watch my hands, you know, just trust me what I'm saying, because I love you, United States of America, while they're doing business with the Chinese and filtering money so no one can track it. Now, we've got some really smart people, and I'm going to give a shout out to Congressman Byron Donalds. I met him this week. And another shout out to Baltimore City GOP. You guys did a great job. My friend Taria, you did a fabulous job with the event. And what was present there was a bringing together of the black community, the white community, all with common conservative values, some more than others, but Republicans who believe in saving our nation. My point being, Byron Donalds, Representative Donalds, is on that oversight committee with Comer, and they have been digging into banking, and he has a banking background. And so that man is really smart on these issues. But they've been tracking Biden's, and to date, they still haven't sent them to jail. Why?
You asking me that?
What's your opinion?
My opinion is that we need some serious enforcement. And I mean putting people in jail and maybe even charges of treason. How come we don't talk about it anymore? It is treasonous to do what's been done.
Because they own the narrative, but here we're telling it like it is, so we say it. But others won't say it because, God forbid, you know, someone would be upset with somebody saying that.
Well, it's a serious thing to say. You know, for treason, what they do is... They kill you, you know, firing squads, etc.
So we're trying to save a nation, but back to Trump, he's trying to save a nation, and he's put everything on the line for us. Everything is on the line for us. And they've come after everybody he loves, cares about, has worked with, and trusted. Bob, what do you say about the state of our nation as somebody who worked for the Central Intelligence Agency and has seen a lot you probably can't talk about?
Well, I won't talk about the things I can't talk about, but I will talk about the things that I absolutely believe, and that is that we are undergoing a subversion. The country's being subverted by our own government and maybe by some outside forces. And if you look at the process of subversion, the first thing that happened was we were demoralized. Religion was taken away, at least separated from the opportunity to speak in public. Our morality, the basic morality that we had for 200 years, has been diffused, if not destroyed. The second stage in a subversion is to destabilize the society. And what we're talking about right here and right now is that we're destabilized. We're coming up on an election in 8 or 9 months, and we have no idea what's going to happen. We have no idea if Donald Trump will be available. He may be the selected GOP presidential candidate, but we don't know if he's actually going to be viable. We don't know if he'll be in jail. We don't know if he'll be able to compete.
And you could say the same thing about Biden. I mean, we've got a hot mess. We're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to the Jen Charlton Show. I have with me today Walter Charlton, an attorney, my dear old dad, Bob Kofod, who has come in to be with us this morning and has an outstanding background in service to our nation. And I thank you for that. I want to thank our sponsors, Sweeties on the Creek, we're scooping now, and also TotalWellFit.com, which is a new online boutique of wellness and health-related products. So please check it out, TotalWellFit.com, and we'll be right back. Good morning and welcome. It's great to have everybody here. I have with me today Walter Charlton in studio and Bob Kofod, former CIA and an analyst, but also with great experience in business and banking. So we're going to talk further. But you were talking before the break about subversion. I think there is more to say about that. What else do you want to share about that?
Well, I think, at least in the analysis that I've done, I think you can say that communist leaders in Russia and China have planned to overthrow the United States for 100 years. And I think that's coming to some fruition. And whether that's the reality, that's part of the problem. We don't know how to put our finger on reality. You look at all
these
cases.
Do you mean reality if they're actually doing that, or reality if that will be the outcome and they will actually indeed destroy us?
We don't know what the outcome is going to be. And that's part of the game, is to make us impotent because we don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. And I think that's...
And we're in a five-dimensional war, I mean, at least. So they're coming at us from all angles, all sides, upside, downside, inside, outside. So, you know, where's the hot spot now to deal with, I think, is kind of where we're all scrambling to try and save our nation.
I think you look at the cases that we start talking about with Trump, and that is a mirror of the same kind of pattern for the subversion. He's got a half a dozen cases from New York State and Manhattan to Georgia to Mar-a-Lago to the DOJ, and we have no idea where they are, where they're going to end up. And here we are trying to put our hopes for the country on this guy. And that's an extremely difficult thing for us to handle. How do normal citizens look at their role as the government? As Walter said before, we are supposed to be the government. We talk a lot about freedom of speech.
Well, we the people, it's supposed to be governed by us, not
exactly.
By some other entity.
Exactly. And we talk a lot about freedom of speech, but we don't have the freedom to be heard anymore. We have a government that doesn't listen. We know, you know, Walter and I have both been involved with the election integrity thing and the hundreds of cases that have been lodged on behalf of distrust in election. And none of them, hardly any of them, are heard.
So when you saw through the lens of the CIA the work being done internationally in other countries where they were rearranging governments, did you see them do what we've experienced here in our elections? Was that one of the steps in the process of dismantling a government?
Yeah, I think it is. And we have internationally, the limits of what I can say, but we have technology that can basically disrupt, do the same things that have happened to us over the past 20 years, but do that in 24 hours in smaller countries. And I think we see the patterns, that those same patterns. You talk about the banking thing. Obama said...
Okay, so before you go to banking, I want to not step over something you just said. So you said that the elections have been mucked with. That's with an M. Mucked with. By our government in interfering, or in our view, helping these other countries to find their way. What they were doing was unseating one person and seating another, and didn't always go well, right? But you said in 24 hours they could flip it. What we've seen in these elections is exactly that, where technology has flipped numbers from one candidate to another, not only in the general elections between the Republicans and the Democrats, but it has happened, I promise you, in the primaries, where they're getting their guy through that they want through, so that person is the person in the general, right? So we don't really know, have we had even the right people to choose from? We don't even know if we've had the right people to choose from. But when you look at that, having a free and fair election and using technology, this is the case for no mail-in ballots, no drop boxes, no having them be stuffed, pushed, rearranged or otherwise fraudulently infused into a system in order to be manipulated through computers using Dad's favorite word, algorithms, or other such software applications that manipulate the data. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So the point I want everybody to get on this show that's listening is we must stop the manipulation of our votes using mechanics and electronics. One ballot, one person, one day, one vote. Period. Okay? And if we do that, we will have a free and fair election. And go back to people who are infirmed, elderly, or military. If you can't get to the poll on that day, then you can do a vote from your living room. But the rest of us need to get our butt to the polls and vote on one day, not for 3 months. So that they can maneuver, manipulate, see how many votes they got to conjure up in order to make sure they get just over that 50% mark, which is why they keep saying we have such close elections. No, we don't. That's the manipulation of the data to make sure that their guy wins and it doesn't look like they've been fraudulently manipulating an election. Okay, so I want to, does that sum that up?
I think so.
Yeah, so Dad, what do you want to say about elections? Given what you're going through with the cases, and we all know about the cases, so give us an update of where we are right now in the Fourth Circuit. Are you making progress to stop this deceitful acts of this election process to subvert our nation?
Well, let's put it this way. Anybody in this country, or maybe in the whole world, that thinks that the election process was fair for the last 30 years has no grip on reality at all. It's just, it ain't so, Joe. Now, there
is. So you're saying the last 30 years, so that puts us before the 2020 election.
Yes, this has been ongoing. It's part of what Bob talks about in the destabilizing of our country. And who gets to say where the values are. Now, going back to the case just for 1 minute, as a certified public accountant who understands the ocean that of misinformation we're swimming in, I want to complain about the courts. The whole system of justice does not deal well with fraud. The rules, the federal rules of civil procedure, and in Maryland, for example, the rules make it very difficult to prove fraud. It is very difficult to prove fraud. Now, if Sienter, you mentioned Sienter. Sienter is, I think it's a Latin word, but wherever it comes from, what it means in the law is evil intent. When the shell game guy at the carnival cheats, he has a process. And Sienter is known because it just can't be true. But the courts do not deal well with fraud. The rules requires, I think, 7 elements of fraud, and Sienter is just one of them. In the Trump case, all of these rules are swept aside, and they got this new executive order in New York that says we, the government, get to decide whether or not you cheated or not. And it's all that you need to prove is 2 or 3 instances of it could be plain
error. So evil intent is no longer part of that?
No, it's not part of the required proof, which is insane. Now, it's difficult to prove fraud, but it's not difficult at all to say you're a fraudster. That's real easy. Now, how do you refute you're not a fraudster? Well,
Again, back to the narrative, you know, the slamming of reputations.
And how you have to prove is you have to prove all these things, including generally accepted accounting principles and generally accepted standards and all this other stuff that is very difficult to prove. But we don't care anymore. We just put in jail who we want. Well, that's easy. That's what Hitler did. Hitler and his bunch were amateurs. The people that have buffooned the whole state of New York, they've got this down to a real art. You've got to admire their technical expertise in it, if you're a fraudster.
Yeah, I could go somewhere with that, and I don't want to get myself in trouble. But, you know, when people accuse somebody of something, often, what is it they say? One finger pointing at you, but there's three coming back. So if I point a finger at Trump, and I'm New York, and I say, you're a fraudster, I've got three fingers pointing back at me. You know, you could go to Funny Fanny Willis in Atlanta for all of the nonsense that she accused Trump of, all the while she's sleeping with the dude who she's paying an ungodly amount of money with while traveling with him to really cool places so that she can get Trump. For bring on racketeering. Now, you cannot make this stuff up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is laughable. I can only imagine in 200 years, they're going to look back and people are going to just shake their head like, oh, my God, those people were crazy town. I mean,
now you got it. You see, that's the only correct answer is they're all nuts.
Well, and it really is. And the fact that they only threw the guy out and not Funny Fanny. They didn't throw her out. That's just hilarious to me because she's the source of, when you look at fraudulent acts, there's a source. In transformational work, you always look at what's the source of something. Because you can talk about, you know, different aspects of something. But when you drill down, what's at the core source of something? At the source of that situation in Atlanta is Funny Fanny. So she brought that guy in. So she's the source of the problem. And the fact that they would even consider leaving her on there absolutely discredits that court. Would you agree with that, Dad?
Well, you got to be careful saying who you discredit because then they'll come around and nail me, see? But other than that, you know, I'm real serious. You know, when they can nail somebody that
they don't like
done
you.
What Trump has done, probably the greatest president that ever lived anywhere in the whole world, maybe. That's my opinion. So I exaggerate a little. So what?
So the bottom line is, there is no, quote, air quotes, justice system right now. It's completely blown up. I mean, there is no justice system. When we come back from the break, I want Bob to share a little bit about your perspective with CIA and how some of this flushes out against some of your information. Everybody, you're listening to the Jen Charlton Show. We're telling it like it is. We'll be right back. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Sweeties on the Creek, We're Scooping Now, and TotalWellFit.com. We'll be right back.
When was the last time you had freshly made ice cream or candy? Sweeties on the Creek offers a wide selection of fresh, creamy ice cream made with natural flavors. Stop in for a new fun flavor or a classic yummy favorite perched on a freshly made waffle cone. Just in, Sweeties has a huge assortment of candy, including freshly made in-store delicious chocolates. Your young ones will love all the plush toys and fun gifts, too. Sweeties on the Creek, just up from Market Street. We're scooping now.
Welcome back. This is Jen, and I have with me today Bob Kofod, who's a former CIA and brings an interesting perspective. Bob, first of all, before we go any further, how do people follow you, or do you have publications that people can read and learn about your world?
I'm not very public.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I certainly appreciate you being here because it's a big deal to have you on air with us. Talk about, you know, and Dad kind of alluded to it with fraud, because if there's fraud, there is no trust, right? If people are fraudsters, they're liars, they're cheaters, they're stealing. That's what they do. But to have that infused in government is really hard for us to wrap our head around, because I think most Americans want to believe that government is there to protect us. And, you know, you come from the intel world where sometimes things happen. And, you know, there's been a lot of slamming of CIA. And I'm sure you have people there that you don't want to be kind of harmed by that. But the bottom line is they have done some things they shouldn't have done. And the intel world and FBI and CIA both have lost a lot of credibility in the last 3 to 4 years. And it's a shame, because I know there's some good people in the system. I have interviewed Steve Friend, who was the whistleblower from FBI. And the last time I asked him, because I've had him on several times, I asked him, I said, you know, aren't there good people in the system getting... He said, you know, I used to say that. He said, I don't anymore. It's like, no, if you're still putting up with it, you're part of the problem. So, you know, I summarize. But the point is, you're now out of it. What do you see about the CIA and the role that they should be playing going forward to instill trust and integrity back in government? Or should they be dismantled?
Well, that's a great question. When I was in, and I have to say that in my career in the military and in CIA, I worked with absolute fantastic patriots every day. I never met anybody that I distrusted. I might have disagreed with them on some issue, but not in the big picture of who we are as Americans and what we're trying to do. There was a law that's still there. It's the law that creates the CIA. And in that law, it says CIA's mission is exclusively overseas. They have no authority to operate inside the boundaries of the United States. That was always the FBI's mission. I think those lines have been blurred. And I think that politics, if we want to put a finger on, you know, some elusive kind of a concept, politics have gotten so big in this country and so important and so powerful that it governs everything. We look at this whole issue of, you know, what's happening to Donald Trump. That's all because there's a political party that cannot afford to lose. It must win. And so they'll do anything. They'll do anything they have to do to Donald Trump and to anybody that supports him.
Do you think it's because they've committed treason? Some?
That Trump has committed treason?
No, that the party that must win, yeah, individuals have committed treason.
We'll go back to the question of subversion and whether or not subversion is treasonous, and I'd say absolutely so. Absolutely so. And it goes back a long way. Like Walter said, you can track back to 1965 when a tax law was passed that governed our church's ability to speak about politics. If they speak about politics in the wrong way, they lose their tax-free exemption.
Which is interesting because, you know, I have a lot of friends in the black community, and everybody knows that the black churches are political. They're very political for the Democrat Party for the most part, because that integration of the socialization of the Democrat Party within the black community is part of the reason why so many blacks that I know, Democrats, are afraid to leave the party, because then they lose their friends, they lose their church, they lose their everything. Right. So it's definitely violated inside the black community churches.
And it's violated across the board. It's violated in the banking community. You know, we know what it takes to get a loan. We've all gone to a bank and said, hey, I need this much money, and here's my collateral, and here's my prospectus for what we're doing. And the bank looks at it and says, well, we're going to evaluate the risk. Well, In the Trump case in the state of New York, they said the state has the right to determine what the risk was and not the bank. That's crazy. That's insane.
Yes. And that is the point of, and the same, you can apply the same logic to the courts. It's really scary when you can't trust the courts anymore because the judge is getting paid by the swamp. And that is everywhere in the courts.
So, but again, if we go back to this notion of reconstituting a government that is in alignment with our Constitution. And by the way, there are plenty of people who are trying to throw out our Constitution. They're trying to say that it shouldn't be this anymore. So if they're successful in removing our Constitution, then all bets are off. But if we can retain that the Constitution is indeed our mission, vision, and values, this is who we are as a nation, then there's some reconstituting that must occur because we know that people are subverting. And if they're subverting, that's treason. And if they've committed treason within the Department of Justice because they're subverting our nation, because they're attacking a man who is trying to run for president, I mean, we have a big ball of yarn to unravel here.
It's worse than that. It's this. This goes back before the Constitution of the United States to the common law that creates the right to vote, which came out in 1066. Now that was the Norman Conquest. It was the next big English.
But how does that have a bearing? This may be another show, but because we only have 3 minutes, we're not going to get into understanding common law. But the question is, how does that differ? And so what I would recommend people do, because we can't dig down there right now, start studying common law. You're hearing it come up quite a bit. Dan Cox has brought it up. Dad's brought it up. And there's an overarching theme, or let's say an undergirding of our Constitution that's based in common law, and we all need to understand what common law is. Give us one line to kind of sum it up, Dad. What is common law?
The common law is when the English kings got trumped a few times, trumped a few times, and they acquired the right to vote. And the right to vote means a correct right to vote and not something that some newscaster says you ought to do.
Yeah, it's not granted by humanity. It's really a right given by God, I think, is some of the essence of it.
Which predates the Constitution.
So this has been a fascinating show, and I want to thank Bob Kofod for driving in to do this because I think, you know, just getting into the idea of subversion and coupling that with what's going on, we can start to see that what they're doing to Trump is a means of subversion. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. It's all part of the same program.
Okay. All right. Very good. So, everybody, take a listen to this on podcast. Share it with other people. I'm working on getting some of the podcasts open from the last couple of weeks. So we'll get that straight on WFMD.com or follow us on the WFMD app. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday morning right here at 9 a.m. on WFMD.